Committee on State and Federal Affairs to order August 3rd, 7 p.m. An open work session on Senate Bill 1094 and Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Krieger. It's an honor to be here before your committee this morning. For the record, I'm Oregon State.
Afternoon.
Evening.
Did I say morning?
Yep. Yeah.
I'm a budget guy. I apologize. After evening. I'm Oregon State Representative Greg Smith. I have the distinct pleasure of representing Union and Wallowa, Umatilla and Morrow counties, home of the Bozo Burger. Very quickly, before you, is Senate Bill 1094. This is a bill that Senator David Nelson and myself, in partnership with Director Lane Shetterly and the Governor's Office, have worked to bring forward to you today. What this bill does is it authorizes the establishment and operation of a Speedway destination site and associated facilities with that site in Morrow County. Particularly, it's about 7 miles to the west of Boardman off of I-84. For those who know the area, it's right off of Tower Road. Effectively, what Senate Bill 1094 does is it establishes a statewide policy for where does the state of Oregon want to place a NASCAR-type raceway in the state of Oregon. This bill would take a findings of fact that the Morrow County Court has worked through in 2002, expands portions of it, and clarifies other portions of it. What I would share with you is this is a real project for Morrow County. For the record, I can share with you that GE Capital is the financing end behind this project. They have expressed tremendous interest in this, and they have put their money with their interest. So with that, I would thank you for the opportunity to present this bill and entertain any questions.
Three members have questions?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to get a question to get something on the record, which is just to confirm what I think I'm seeing in the bill, which is that the expanded authorization that we're giving for associated uses and facilities, particularly the golf course and overnight lodging facilities, are all conditional on there being a NASCAR type, that is a motor race car facility developed, which it's important to me that it be all in aid of that project. And
That's exactly correct. Without the NASCAR track, all the other improvements would not be approved.
Right. Okay. That's all I had.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, Representative, would you comment briefly before I comment on ODOT's interpretation of the modifications required to the Tower Road Exchange, which I'm familiar with?
Sure. Chair Krieger, Vice Chair Boquist, this was an issue that we wanted to be proactive on and address right up front. The original bill was a super siting bill, and that legislation was brought forward a little bit out of lack of understanding on how land use processes work, and a little bit out of trying to get some attention for this bill. Well, it's fully our intention in Morrow County, the Port of Morrow's intention, Morrow County Court's intention, to make sure that the developer of this project will be responsible for all financial expenses associated with that overpass. Now, with that said, I want to be very candid with you. I would fully expect that they're going to try and make application at some point in time to ODOT for improvement monies, just like any other developer would. But they understand that they have to go through any process, just like any other county, city, or special district would, or private developer would, and that in the end, they're ultimately responsible to ensure that the specifications of the state of Oregon are met in terms of transportation movement.
Just for the record, I mean, I'm quite familiar because I obviously ranch on the eastern side, and the good representative represents property I own over there. And the Tower Road Exchange that exists right now is of greater capacity than any other exchange I have in the existing five counties I represent. And I would find it hard-pressed to believe that the statements presented by ODOT and the fiscal over the next biennium are even close to being realistic. I think they're highly overblown, and given the scope of the bill that we have before us right now, the expenditure that they estimate in there of $50 million is frankly ridiculous.
Chair Krieger, Vice Chair Boquist, you raise a very good point. For those who know that area, Tower Road leads out to a former industrial park that was tied to the Boeing Space Age Industrial Park and was the overpass for the movement of heavy, heavy equipment related to a coal fire facility owned by Portland General Electric. I can assure you the weight capacity on that overpass, it far exceeds, far, far exceeds anything that would be needed. The issue that most likely will need to be addressed isn't so much weight, but as size and capacity in terms of moving traffic in and out. But again, the developer and the local folks understand their requirements and responsibilities with that.
Mr. Just follow up that. The closest interchange on that section of the interstate to the east, if I'm correct, is the rest area, which is approximately 6 miles away, and the closest exchange, I believe, is 8 miles the opposite direction, which is the exit that actually goes into Ione. I mean, it's a complete rural area. There aren't any houses or anything within visual sight. It's completely flat ground. And to me, again, it's ridiculous to look at ODOT's fiscal on this.
Well, we'll be doing everything we can to work with the state of Oregon in the future on this development. But, again, we understand that ultimately, like any project in the state of Oregon, the impetus relies on the developer.
Okay, further questions?
Well, I guess just to comment on that, I mean, if there really were 60,000 in attendance, I mean, if you got to that kind of scale, I would think that it's not a question of the weight-bearing capacity, it's a question of the kind of width and, you know, and amount of lane miles it would take to get people in and out. So I don't know. I mean, all I can say about those numbers is when you get into that kind of scale, you get into some big numbers.
I think you do. We have to think of 60,000 people there at once. A lot of that stuff is coming and going in flux. It's not all at one time. They come for 2 or 3 days. They're there, come and go, and then they leave over 2 or 3 days. Anything further?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 1094A to the floor with a do pass.
Representative Boquist has moved Senate Bill 1094A to the floor with a due pass. Any further discussion or objections?
Just to offer up a comment, to a gratuitous one, Mr. Chair. Contrary to the reputation sometimes we metro area representatives have about stifling the rural development, economic development in rural Oregon, this looks like a good project. If we could get this off the ground, I think this looks like a terrific place to have this kind of facility.
Almost looks like you got a co-carrier.
I could use him. He's good.
I'd box him in, wouldn't it? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barker's excused. Representative Boquist.
Aye.
Representative Flores. Representative McPherson.
Aye.
Chair Krieger.
Aye. Senate Bill 1094A moves before the due pass. I think you might want to carry.
Thank you very much, Chair Krieger. Thank you, members of the committee. I appreciate your leadership on this issue.
And we will close the work session on Senate Bill 1094. Do we have anyone that's going to testify on these next 4 or 5 bills?
Yeah.
None. I don't. Okay. What we will do is Peter Courtney, Senator Courtney, was not able to be contacted. However, these bills are part of an agreement that they need to move. What I want to do is I'm going to open a work session on them together and then move them into the Ways and Means process together. So open a work session on Senate Bill 2B, Senate Bill 3A, Senate Bill 4B, and Senate Bill 5B. Can you tell us about what these are and do?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 2B directs the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries to develop a statewide seismic needs assessment. It specifies and identifies the scope of the assessment in the bill. It also appropriates $500,000 out of the general fund to to Dogami to conduct the seismic needs assessment. The bill sunsets January 2nd, 2008, declares an emergency. This has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Senate Bill 3 is along the same lines of seismic assessment topics. It requires the director of the Office of Emergency Management to develop a grant program for seismic rehabilitation of certain critical public buildings. Specifies that the funds for the grant program are to be provided from an issuance of general bonds or general obligation bonds. They're bonds 11-M and 11-N type bonds. I'm sorry, I don't know the difference between the two. Directs the creation of a grant committee, and it also specifies the membership of that committee. It allows a safety policy advisory commission and Dogami to participate in the grant program. This too declares an emergency and also has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay, now you had the first two?
Correct. I had two and three, Senate Bill 2 and 3, and January.
Senate Bill 4, and you should have the B and Gross version. This is a bill that came out of generally the same topic. Measures in 15 and 16 approved in the 2002 general election amended the Constitution to allow the state to lend the credit of the state for seismic rehabilitation of public schools and emergency facilities. So Senate Bill 4 is the statutory authorization to have the treasurer set those bonds. Senate Bill 4 is for the education buildings, and Senate Bill 5 is the same exact wording but for the emergency services building. So the two bills are for just for different types of project. Senate Bill 4, there will be no bond issuance this biennium. That was taken out in the Senate Budget Committee, so there's no bonding that will happen this biennium. There's no appropriation or bonding from this bill. The statutory language is necessary so that the treasurer knows how to set things up and how to make sure that the costs of issuing the bonds are covered. So that's Senate Bills 4 and 5. We did attach a section of the Constitution that was passed by voters, Article 11M and N, that talk about those bond issuances. So the statutory to implement those ballot measures.
Okay, committee members.
I guess just a technical question for staff. That is, we already have language in the Constitution, that's why I was just looking up, that is specifically for seismic rehabilitation bonding for M is public education buildings and emergency services buildings. And, I mean, it seems like a weird thing to put into the Constitution, our fundamental document. But so, there's a statutory requirement, a statute in order to implement an actual issuance. Is that how that works?
That's my understanding from speaking to the Treasurer's Office. There is, and it is a lot of the mechanics of what they have to set up funds statutorily. And they have to say how things are transferred, what triggers them, and that kind of thing. And you'll notice in the Constitution that there's before and after that are different types of bonds.
Let's see. Right.
Right, and I see here, like in M, that there are references in Section 2 of Article 11M, references to amounts appropriated for the purpose by the Legislative Assembly. So I gather what we're doing is appropriating funds for these purposes that are authorized by the Constitution.
Right, but there's no appropriation in the bill. That was taken out in the Senate Budget Committee, and there is no bond authorized for this biennium. So it'll be future biennium. That's my understanding from the State Treasurer's Office. And that was also necessary in order to exceed the state's existing bonding capacity.
So,
or, excuse me, not bonding capacity, but debt limitation.
So I could follow up. So if we're not actually issuing bonds in this biennium, then what's the need for these measures?
When I talked to the State Treasurer's Office, they said that it wasn't absolutely critical these passed this session, but I don't want to put that. Hesitate to say that without them being here to verify that. But I guess it sets up the system so that when the bonds are ready to be issued, people know how. And I think the bill originally was to have been issued this biennium. But I think it depends on some of the studies that happened through the Senate Bills 2 and 3 as to where those monies go. And they said they're not really ready to issue until they know where it's going to be spent. But you wouldn't issue bonds unless you knew where it was going to be spent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm presuming that the information that our administrators are providing to us are based on information that was submitted by testimony in the Senate side. Is that correct? And could you tell us who testified in on either or all of these four bills?
Mr.
I do know that the State Treasurer's Office testified on 2 and 3. It's my understanding that Dogami spoke to it. I'm not sure. I have not talked to the Office of Emergency Management on Senate Bill 3 on that. But I didn't get a complete list of who did testify.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I would just comment that I know we're in a press to get out of here, but I find it unsettling that at this point we're to just simply pass something through without the benefit of some complete vetting.
A couple points, Mr. Chair. I mean, I talked probably 2.5 months ago with the state geologists in regards to Senate Bill 2 and Senate Bill 3 in the planning process, and I'm familiar with the activities in the Veterans Affairs Committee where you have to have dueling statutory requirements, one to develop the plan, the next to develop the bonding. The rationale that was explained probably 2.5-3 months ago to me was that, you know, we're going through, we have two planning processes you go through. You have the geologist goes through one planning process, the emergency management goes through the other planning process, and then, of course, you don't want to go through and expend fiscal dollars, real dollars, which is going to happen in the first two of these on the budget side, and then not have the bonding authority actually go out and implement the projects. And that was a rationale. That was over 2.5 or 3 months ago. And what they brought forth at that time, of course, was right after the tsunami incidences that happened overseas. And while that's overseas, it was explained in quite in-depth to me the Cascadia fault line issue and the potential of, you know, tsunamis. And I remind the committee only that we had a tsunami scare, for a better word. It was a false alarm down in Cannon Beach not more than 3 weeks ago. And, of course, unfortunately, we should advise the public when a tsunami warning comes out that they should actually leave the beach and go to higher ground. And what we found in Cannon Beach was, in fact, everybody ran to the beach to look at it. And, well, if you'd like to watch the movies and see the wave roll over you, that's not probably good public policy. But the two things I do want to confirm is, and it's been 2.5 to 3 months ago when the state geologist came, and I think Ken Murphy came and talked to me about this issue. But I do know from experience on veterans that you got to pass dueling bills. One is the statutory implementation to it, and the actual is the other, bonding authority. So,
committee members, just from my own feelings, I think we need to have a little more information. So we can continue here, you know, and that's all right. But I think I will carry them over till tomorrow, try to get some of them to Gami and one of the other people so that testify from the state offices so we can ask a little more clarification. Would you all feel that that's all right?
I would say, Mr. Chair, I don't think it's essential for my part, because what I think is going on is that Senate Bill 2 is appropriating $500,000 to do seismic study, and the other three bills relate to bonding authority that's not actually being used, and that it seems to me I'm not sure there's harm in acting on that, creating that authority, which already exists within the Constitution, and it's sort of in aid of that, and I don't know quite what the connection is. But on the other hand, if people would feel more comfortable, I could probably learn a little bit, you know, get a firmer grounding in this too, if need be.
Okay. Larry, why don't you come up and clarify a little bit on the bonding issue side of it for us, and we'll see how that makes us feel.
For the record, Larry Nice-Winder, Legislative Fiscal Office. Having missed some of the questioning, I'll try to be brief, and then you can tell me if I've hit the questions. This is a package, basically. Senate Bill 2 allows for a statewide seismic assessment, needs assessment to be done with some funding. Senate Bill 3 allows for a grant program to be established to allow for the funds to be directed toward both emergency services building rehabilitation or public education building rehabilitation. And then 4 and 5 really set up the structure for the bond program for the state treasurer, so that basically they can do run this bond program like they would any other general obligation bond program. So a lot of work's been done to carry out the provisions of the ballot measures 15 and 16. And so even though there's no bonding authority being provided for 0507, it basically sets the structure in place and requires DAS to come back to the next assembly with a plan based on the needs assessment to ask for the legislature to endorse some bonding authority. So $500,000 in Senate Bill 2 to get the needs assessment started. Senate Bill 3 doesn't have any money attached to it, although there's some recognition that that they may need some money to do it, to set up the grant program, but it really is contingent upon the progress made in the needs assessment. So no money directly appropriated, sort of left the door open for them to come to the emergency board if they need to move the grant program along so that it's in a position for 0507 to take the next step, basically. Because the ballot measure authority in 15 and 16 is limited in terms of the state's capacity to bond for these kind of activities. It's like 1/5 of 1% of the state's real property value, equivalent to roughly $620 million. Well, we think the needs assessment for seismic rehabilitation is probably significantly larger than that, probably in the order of magnitude of maybe 10 times that. So, or at least over $1 billion. So, that's basically what, in Ways and Means, we talked about what was necessary to sort of set this in motion and what was the liability to, in 0507 to do so. And $500,000 is less than what, Doug Amey really thinks they need to have to complete this seismic assessment. But, and so we recognize that if they make progress, use that money to the best of their ability, they may come back to the emergency board to get us additional funding if necessary to make the progress they need to be in the position to advise the next assembly.
Okay. I think that explains Senate Bill 2 just fine. That is, we're going to do a needs assessment that is, we're appropriating $500,000 for, may not be enough. E-Board might add more funds to make that whole process go. It's the other three pieces that are still a little mysterious to me. Okay. That is, we're not actually going to issue the bonds during the 0507 biennium,
no,
but we're doing some of the work that would otherwise have to be done in the 07 session now, so that we're queued up with, so there'll be less to do in the next session, is what I'm hearing.
Chair and committee members, that's accurate. 4 and 5, if you didn't do them now, next assembly would need to do them to set the framework in place. Basically, it allows the treasurer to set up a system for the structure of bond sales consistent with all the other state bond programs. Mm-hmm. Provides that the bonds are general obligation, that, and it does go a step farther in that it requires DAS to submit a budget request for next assembly that would include a plan for bond issuance, including some identified funding source for debt service. So without it in place, I'd say that that direction certainly wouldn't be there in the statute, and if they did it, it would be in anticipation of this passing next session. So if you're going to spend $500,000, that's sort of the policy issue for you guys, if you're going to spend $500,000 to get the statewide needs assessment going to determine the highest priorities for use of a limited bonding authority that's in the Constitution, you know, do you want to put the other pieces in place so that you're ready to take that needs assessment information and actually utilize it to deal with the highest priority needs?
Well, just a comment, Mr. Chair, is that the the sort of fiscal operations of the state, including the Treasurer's Office and Department of Administrative Services and the people who oversees or the fiscal health of our state, they have a lot of credibility with me, because as a general matter, this state has been well run over time in how it handles bonding matters and its credit rating and those kinds of issues. So if they think this is something that needs doing later in any event, and we're putting the first money toward the needs assessment, and we're going to have to do this next time anyway, why not get it done now so there's less to accomplish in the waning hours of the 07 session, which may be when it has to happen if we don't do it now.
Do you have any further comments for St. Flores?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I think that probably explains the framework and the concept that we're trying to put forward here. I guess my overall comment is that...
If you'd like to hear from Dagami tomorrow, I'm more than willing to hold it over, check the witness list, and see if some of the things that have other to do with bonding about the project maybe give us a little more comfort, if you'd like to do that at 10 in the morning.
I wouldn't oppose that, and I wouldn't require that. I'm just a little unsettled by having to.
I'd rather settle you down.
I don't think that you could work on that. But thank you.
Okay. What we're going to do, there's a couple questions I have, too. So let's go ahead and close the work sessions on Senate Bill 2, Senate Bill 3, Senate Bill 4, Senate Bill 5. And then we will come back tomorrow morning, and let's take a look at the list of people who testified, I think Dagami, and see if there's anyone else you thought might have some information that we might need regarding the projects.
And Mr. Chair, I'd recommend someone from EMS for the second bill.
Yes. Good point. I think we're adjourned.
And, Mr. Chair, if we're not, since we're not on the floor until 11:30 tomorrow, if that could be relevant later in the morning rather than first thing, that would allow us to get home and back, those of us who are returning
Mr.
to our
Chair,
homes.
Mr. Chair, did you say 10 a.m.? Is 10. That true?
Oh, you did say 10?
Yeah.
Okay,
10
I didn't hear. Okay, that's fine.
That way, I think we could probably get it done before a session. They get it posted and get it back on the floor for our second session tomorrow.
Okay.
And we get the folks from Portland here, too.
Well,
yeah.
Back to that.
Okay.
Yeah, geology is important.
Yep.